Hey, Boker Tov.
Shavua Tov. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Zayin in Baba Kama. Kuf Yud Zayin. Now, L'Rav Chamilsa will start. It's in the middle of the story, so we'll start, let's say, the last four lines on Kuf Tesvav Amid Beis, right where the lines get wide there. The last four lines on Kuf Tes Zayin Amid Beis. Who got over the story? The Mishnah had said that if you steal property, landed property, basically, the assumption is you can't steal property. That's the idea. You can't steal land as land. So wherever it is, it belongs to the owner. But let's say you handed it over to the goyim. The government there was, you know, looking for land, and you said, oh, after you stole, you said, okay, here's a good piece of land. In other words, if they were taking the mission, said, if they, the Gemara explains, if they took all the land, so it wouldn't make any difference, right? I stole your land. What do you mean? It's still there, right? But, and if the government came and the evil guys came and they took everybody's land, it wouldn't have made any difference. I'm not responding to say, well, it's yours, it's there. But if I handed it over to them, they didn't know about that land. They asked me for my land and I gave them your land, then I'm responsible. Then we have a story. Who got for the Achve, Achkaria, Dechat, Dechiti, Beirish Galusa? A man handed over, showed the Goyim, the bad guys who were coming to take property, showed them a pile of wheat that belonged to the exilarch, Dechat, Beirish Galusa. Also, they came before Rabbi Nachman. Afterwards, when he was called, came before Rabbi Nachman. Chayv Rabbi Nachman l'shlume. Rabbi Nachman said, "You have to pay because you showed it to them, right?" And here we're talking about a pile of wheat. Presumably, we're talking about metalklin. So certainly, you have to give. Wasn't even chitin. Yosef Yosef Achori Dravuna Rav Chia. If Yosef was sitting there when it was done, when it was paskin by Rav Nachman, he was sitting behind Rav Huna Bar Chia. The Yosef Rav Huna Bar Chia committed Rav Nachman. He was sitting in front of Nachman. Omer Rav Huna Bar Chia, Rav Nachman, Rav Huna Bar Chia said to Rav Nachman, Dina o Knasa. So he said to him, when you paskin that he has to pay, the person who handed over the stuff to the guy who has to pay, is that the halacha or is it a knas? Maybe it's a particular fine because you know this guy is a bad guy and he's always doing bad things and you just gave him your own fine. It's our Mishnah. It's not a fine. Mishnah says, if the Gazlan turned it over to the Goyim, then so you've got to give another. That's what our Mishnah said. If you handed it over, you've got to give the Nigzal another one. Then we said, what does it mean you handed it over? You showed it to him. In other words, it wasn't that they were taking all the lands. You showed him to take this land. You're responsible. Okay. After Nachman left, after he paskin, and he said goodbye to everybody, Rav Yosef was sitting in the back, said to Rav Huna Bar Chia, the one who asked the Kasha, is it a Knas or is it a Halacha? And he told him it's a Halacha, it's our Mishnah. He said to Rav Huna Bar Chia, my Nafkamita, what's the difference, Edina? What's the difference if it's a dinner or a Knas? We're at the top Nafkuf Yitzayim. You asked him a question, and he said to him, what's the difference between the Knas? Amalei, Edina, come here, here's a din. If it's a din, that's the Halacha. You can learn it. You can extrapolate from this case to another case, because that's the Halacha. If it's simply a fine, maybe the fine was only in that case. We're not talking about a fine in the Torah, like 30 shekels for an Eved, or 50 shekels for a rape, or whatever, 100 shekels for Motzei Shem. We're not talking about, or Kefo for a burglary. We're not talking about, he's just asking if it was his own Knas. He says, what's enough to mean if the Knas? He says, if it's a din, then we learn from it. If it's a Knas, we don't learn from there. When we're not talking about a Knas, how do we know you don't learn from a Knas? The Tanya, Barishona Yom, they used to say, that, you know, Minat Torah, if I do damage to you, which is unseen, it's spiritual. For example, I metame your food. Now your Kohen can't eat it. Or a menasech. Or I mixed up, I menasech for Avodah Zarah wine. I mixed up, you know, I made your wine into Avodah Zarah wine. It's not visible, right? So they said, no, the rabbi said, because, you know, you shouldn't do that kind of thing, and you do damage. It's a grumma. So even if you say, you know, grumma zikin is potter, potter of a lasser, but when they see the guy doing it, the rabbi said you should pay. That's what they said originally, even though it has a chain of nicker. But then afterwards they said, no, now he said, afa medama. Medama means I take truma and I mix it up with chulin. Now if I take truma and I mix it with chulin, is it prohibited for the kohen to eat? No. But it's got a less of a market value now because now you can only sell it to kohen. Now before it had a big market. Now you can only sell it a limited market, so you're not going to get so much money for it. So metame menasach are much worse because if you metame menasach, you basically menasach you can't use it all. It's asur ba'anah. Metame, very little that you can do with it. Use it for firewood or something for fuel. But medame isn't as bad. Then they said even medame also you have to pay for that too. Even though you know the loss isn't as great, but you still have to pay for it. Right? Chazur ain't. In other words, what happened? They decided to go back and paskin that too. Lo chazur lo. my time, a lot of Mishim Beknasa, since a Knasa, Knasa, like, why did they say, originally, Metama Menasach, they made an issue, they said, you have to, the rabbi said, it's Menator, you don't have to pay for it, it's Hesek Shani Nicker, but the rabbi said, you have to pay for that too. Then they added on, you know what, you have to pay even for Medama, where you only limit the market value, right? You make the market value less. Now, why did they have to go back and institute that law as well? Why couldn't you just learn out one from the other? Lab Mishum, the Knas, it's a Knas, it was a Knas, and you don't learn from a Knas. That shows you can't learn from a Knas. A Knas could be, in this particular case, they gave a fine, in other cases, it can. If it's a halachos, you can learn out one, you can extrapolate one from another, but not by a Knas. So the Knas, like Ramina, he says, that doesn't prove it. That's not reason why. Mikara Savri left some Rubachashi, left some Mulachashi. Originally, they thought that they made their gzeir, not because you can't learn out a knas. It could be maybe law, and you could learn out one knas from another, but there are different cases. Because in the first case, they said, when the loss was what we call a total loss, like, for example, when you menasach the wine, and as Asarana, or you turned his food into tame food, which basically you can't use for food anymore, that's almost a total loss. That's when they made gzeir. But if you only mixed up the Kohen's truma, or your truma with chulin, where you limited the value, the value is less, you could still sell it. It's like what we call hefsed mu'at. The loss isn't as great, so they weren't mocked with that. Ulubasof, and later on, Safri lahefsed mu'at na mechashe. After on, they said, we're gonna make gzeira even for a small loss as well. That's what the svar was there. Not necessarily you couldn't learn out of one knas from another. Is that really the case? That otherwise you could learn out one knas from another? And then there shouldn't be any difference between din or knas. He said, what's the difference if it's a din or a knas? So he says, Rav Huna Bar Chiya answered, because if it's a din, you can extrapolate from one to another. If it's a knas, you can. But by knas, you can't. Vatani Avuad Rav Avin, the father of Lernbri Shon, he learned a little bit differently. Originally, they said, metame umedame. Even where the loss wasn't as great, you have to pay for it. Metame medame. Chazur lomer afa menasach. Then they added on even Menasef, where the loss was really total, but why wouldn't you learn out one from the other? Simply because maybe that's what the Xerah was on the first was, that was the Knas was, and they didn't make Knas on anything. Chazru, right, and then afterwards they added on even Menasef also, right? Chazru ain't lo Chazru lo, same thing, only because they made a special law, but otherwise you couldn't learn out one Knas from another. Isn't that the reason? That's lo. No, Maitan Lam Shem Dulog, meaning Knas is lo. That's not the reason why. Mikara Savrika, the reason is for a different reason. Mikara Savrika of Avin. Originally, they held like Rav Avin Levasof Savri Kerav Yirmiya. What are we talking about? What's Rav Avin Yirmiya? Mikara Savri like this. No, we know there's a din kamala Rav Minei, that if you're chayav misa for something, you're not chayav for the money damages that you have to pay, you know, when you were doing that at the same time. So here's the question. What is considered doing it at the same time? What's considered doing it at the same time? That's the machlokas over here. Mikara Savri Kerav Avin, we're at the second of the wide lines on Kuf Yud Zayin. Mikara Savri, originally, they held like Rav Avin Damar Rav Avin Zorik Chetz Mitchilas Arab Levasof Arba. When you throw something on Shabbos, you know, if you transport something from Rishus Rabban to Rishus Yachad, that's an Isser Daraisa. Or four Amos, Dalet Amos, Rishus Rabban. So let's say I threw an arrow, Dalet Amos, Rishus Rabban, right? V'kara Shiron Belachasa. And while the arrow was going, I tore somebody's fancy shirt, right? It ripped through somebody's shirt. I'm Potter, because since I'm Chayav Misa, Chas Flila for the Melach of Shabbos, I'm Potter. Sharei Akira Tzorach Hanachi. Because what does it mean, Akira Tzorach Hanachi? What am I chayiv on Shabbos? Chayiv on Shabbos is if you transport something from one place to another, either Rishus Rabban, Rishus Yachad, Rishus Yachad, Rishus Rabban, or Dalet Amos, Rishus Rabban. But what do you mean transport it? You got to pick it up and you got to put it down. You need Akira and Anocha. Now, if you say that Akira has Tzorach Anocha, that means it's all considered one action, even though lifting it up is one thing and sending it down is another thing, either picking it up and throwing it and it lands on the floor or putting it down on the floor, that's the Hanacha. So you have to have an Akira and Anocha. So what happens is, he says you're potter there because you might say, because it's all one action. Throwing it, picking it up, and throwing it and putting it down is one action that you're chayav for. And during that action that you're chayav for, in those 4 seconds that it took to do that, or 20 seconds, whatever it was, you tore something on Shabbos. You tore something. You're chayav for throwing it on Shabbos. You don't have to pay for the shirt that you tore because the tearing was done while that action was being done. Right, so that originally the thought like him, meaning the menasech. What is the menasech? When you originally they thought, right? Right, metame something, medame something. Right, those things. Okay, I did some damage. You have to pay for that. Menasech. When I do nesech, I'm also doing a vodazar. I'm mixing the wine for vodazar. That's chayev misa. Okay, so while I'm doing menasech. So while the whole process of menachas is going on, I pick up the wine, I mix it, whatever I do with it, while it's going on, I'm chayiv misa. So the damage that I did, I don't have to pay for. Then they said, because that's all going on while this is taking place. And he had, like Rav Avin, that while you're doing this, even though it takes a few seconds to do or a few minutes to do, that's all part of the the process that you're chayiv for, you're chayiv misa for, and therefore you're putter on the monetary damage you have to pay. At Ula. So that's why they said originally, they don't say you have to pay for madama for ruining the truma by mixing it with chulin, or matame ruining the chulin the truma totally. But I don't have to pay for menasach. Why? Because I'm chayiv misa. Ula b'sof savri kriya. But afterwards they said no, you have to pay for menasach also. What the hell, Rav Yirmiyah? Damar Rav Yirmiyah. Mishas like bar kanya. As soon as I picked it up, I'm chayiv. Right. As soon as you picked up your chayiv, meaning just like bar kanya, you acquired it. Chayiv le mamo mis chayiv le mamo mis chayiv benafsho. I'm sorry. Mishas like bar kanya, you were kanya. Chayiv mamo, you have to pay for it. In other words, when do you have to pay for the menasach? Right? When do you have to pay for the menasech? When is the chayiv to pay? As soon as I picked up the wine. Before I even said abracadabra for the avodah zarah, right?
As soon as I didn't do anything, you just picked
it up. But I'm konis, that's when I stole it. When I picked up your wine, that's when I stole it. That's when I chayiv to pay for it at that point. That's at 5 o'clock. 2 minutes later, mischayiv benafsho aviyat shas nisach, until I actually mix it, start mixing. That's on chayiv nafsho. So there are two different times, you understand? Like, in other words, the same idea that in the case of the Shabbos, so you can say that Akira is one thing, and I picking it up is one thing, and that's a separate action. I'm only chayiv on Shabbos when it actually landed. And when I tore the shirt, it was in the middle, not the same time, so I could pay for it too. So the same idea here.
First make him pay, and then you kill him.
First make him pay, and then you kill him. Correct. That's right. You always get the money first, because, you know, the relatives aren't going to pay, you know. So therefore, the truth is, it's svaradik, right? That if I have halacha, I can extrapolate from one halacha to another. If it's a knas, so maybe the rabbi fined him in this case because he's a ruffian, he's a tough guy or whatever, right? He's a scoundrel. And maybe he didn't in another case. That's why he asked him, what's the difference? You asked, is it a din or is it a knas? So he says it's a din, but what's the difference? The difference is that if it's a din, you can learn out. If a knas, you necessarily can't learn out one from another. But, and how do you know that for knas you can't learn out? We tried to prove it, but you didn't really able to prove it. Because in both cases we said the reason is not because you can't learn out one knas from another knas. The reason is because originally either they thought, the first way was that they were only mechayev when there was a total loss and not when there was a partial loss. And the second one is it could be that they just held different shitas in terms of kamla merabine. Rav Urbar, now we're going to have a bunch of stories that relate to handing over Jewish assets to the goyim. But you know, like you're moser, not most of the person, you're like a moser of a person. We talk about, you know, these like a rode, but we're talking about handing over his assets. Ravuna Bar Yehuda, Ravuna Bar Yehuda, he went to that place at Bay of Uni, that town. Also, he came for a Rabbah, Omele. So Rabbah said, "No, klum ma'isabeh fenecha. Do you have any stories and any shilas were asked of you? You know, you go to the Rebbe, you know, I had a shila, this is how I paskin Rebbe, did I do okay?" So Rabbi asked him, any shilas come up to you that you had a paskin recently, Omerle? Yes. Yisrael shansu of the kechavim. There was a Jew who was forced by the goyim. They asked him for, you know, where show us where your money is and your assets, etc. V'haramam chaveiro. And not only is, you know, if he's forced, he's forced. What are you going to do? He's forced. But he didn't have to show him the other guys, you know, v'haramam chaveiro. And this guy did that. Bolio, they came to him. V'chayavtev, and I made him pay. I was mechayev the person who showed him, he didn't steal it, right? But he was forced, and he showed him somebody else. In other words, it was called matzel nafsho b'mamon chaver. He saved himself by showing him somebody else's assets. So he made him pay. Omerle, so Rava said to him, sorry, kid, you made a mistake. Ahadar uv delamare. Return it. Reverse your decision. Give him his money back. Why?
Why do you infer
No, he could have shown him his own money. He might have shown him his own money also. He might have shown him his own money, but he also showed him somebody else's. Right. He should have said, that's all I have.
He didn't want to be the only guy.
Yeah, why did he show him somebody else's? If it was a life and death matter, he said, okay, we're done with yours, now show me his, and they forced him. So he said, I'm going to say, the Tanya. He says, yeah, why did he reverse him? He says, okay, the Tanya, Yisrael, Shansu, Avikachavim, they forced him, Ver, Mamma, Chaveiro, Potter. Here's what he said. If they forced him to show the other guy's money, then you're potter. But if he picked it up his own hand and gave it to them, that's different. In other words, if they forced him to, he said, first he said, Israel forced him, and he showed him somebody else's, right? We don't know, all we said is the story that he first played was he showed him the other guy's money. Now, if he showed him the other guy's money, he didn't have to, then he's chayv to pay. So Rava said, you're right. Rava said, we've learned, Yisrael that was forced by Kohen and showed, that's not our mission. Our mission was, first of all, a case of karka. And right, and he showed it to him, in other words, that he showed it to him where it was, that he wasn't like forced to, right? Rashi said, the Gemara said before, that he showed it to him on his own. That's like, you know, he went and he showed it to him. So here he says, if he picked up the money with his own hand and gave it to them, then he was more involved. In other words, even if he was forced, he apparently wasn't forced that much that his life was at stake, but they forced him and he gave it up. So normally he's potter, but if he did it with his own hands, he's chayev. So therefore, return. Amaraba im hera ba'atzmo kenasim siyata. If he did it on his own, meaning he really wasn't forced to show him the other guys. Here, like you say, if the case was, he says, show me that guy's land, and he showed it to him. Even then, he says he's potter unless he actually picked it up. But Rabba says if he showed it on his own, then it was nasim siyata. He wasn't really asked to. He just said, like you said, he asked him for his field. He says, well, I'll show you my friends too. Then he's responsible. There was a Jew who was forced by Goyim, and he showed where the chamra, the wine of Mar Brei Rav Pinchas was. Brei Rav Chista. Amalei, Darvi Amdi Badan. So when he was there, he showed it to them. And then they said, okay, pick it up, Vam Tibdan. Now you help us, also you show where it is. Also show us, help us carry it away. Vam Tibdan. Dor Vam Tibdan. Also come to Ravashi. When the case came before Ravashi, Patrin Ravashi says, you're Potter. Omle Rabban Ravashi, I have a Tanya, we learned in Nasan Osamayat Chayiv. He said, if he did it with his own hands, if he picked it up and gave it to you, Chayiv. Omle Hanim Lech, the Ukma Le Makro, where they didn't know where it was. And that's Barav Alech, the Ukma Makro, but here they knew where it was. They were standing right there. Then Mikkel Kol, it's as if it's been consumed already too. Meaning it's gone already. So here, where they forced him, right? You didn't say where he that's the idea. Normally, you said that he's potter. Why? Like you said, he saw all shemesh from every. Right? He was forced. That you know, it was a gunpoint. He showed. They said, where is the stuff? Where is the stuff? He was forced to. So he's potter. But you said before, if he picked it up with his own hand, he's chayiv. That's only where. He didn't have they wouldn't have been able to get it otherwise. What's the difference if he showed it to him or if he showed it to him and then he picked it up and gave it to them? Why should it be more chayiv in the second? If he's potzer for showing to them, why is he chayiv if he picked it up? The answer is he's only chayiv picked it up where they couldn't have gotten it otherwise. They wouldn't have been able to get it otherwise. We have a story like that too. Eisfei Rabbi Vula Ravashi, Omer lo Anas, the guy told him, Hoshit li pkia imer zeh, Hand over to me this bunch of sheaves of wheat. Oh, Eshkelon of more this cluster of grapes there. Voshlo and he handed him chayim. So what do you see here? That even though apparently the guy saw it, he said, "Hand that over to me." The guy was standing there. You chayim, even though you just said before that if he was there, if he handed it over, we said before you chayim. But if the guy was there anyway, and he told him to do it, the guy saw it anyway, you're chayav here, you're potter. But here it's mashma, the guy told him to do it, and he did it, and the guy was standing his chayav. The answer is, the guy wasn't standing, the guy betrayed Avir Nahara. The guy and the Jew, the guy was forcing was on the other side of the river, he didn't have access to it. So he only had access to it because he handed it over. And as it was like a small river there, and he couldn't have gotten it by itself, only if the Jew handed it to him. The economic attorney says, Hoshidi, hand it over, Lotani, he didn't say just give it to me, but he says, like, pass it over, that's Mashbad, he was on the other side. So it comes out, we're saying like this, that if the Jew hands it over on his own, for example, he said, in Machmas HaGazon and Amishna, Chayiv Lam Lo Sara Acher, because he didn't have to do it on his, you know, he wasn't forced to give over that field. He did it on his own because he was trying just to curry favor or whatever, then if he gave it up to the gun, then he's responsible for it. But if he was forced to at gunpoint, he says, show me the other guy's field, then you have no choice. But if he handed it over and the guy wouldn't have had access to it, then if he did it biyad, then he's chayav. Ha'ushu sadavi mensei la betray. There was a case of some sort of a trap or a net that was being fought over by two Jews. Hayom didihu, hayom didihu. Each one said, it's mine. See, we're getting close to Shnayim Ofsim Batalis. You know, each one said, like, next to the beginning of Bamitzi, we're going to start Mishnah Wednesday, right? They were fighting over a net. Each one said it's his. I am the D. One said the Amid D. Also, Chaimai, one guy went and took it. One gave it over to the governor over there, to the king, to the monarch's official. Gave it to him. Omra Bai, Yochel Omer. He could say, I know, Kimasa D. Master, I gave over mine. Well, you know, who says it's yours? I gave it to the guy. You know, like he said, I don't want you to get it. I'm going to give it to the police. Omalei Rava, Kol Kamini, is he empowered to do that? He is no more right than the other guy. Elam Rav Mashamtina Lei, you put him in Cherem Adam Isilei until he gets it back from the police. But Koy Bedin, it comes to a judgment. In other words, if there's a fight about it, you got to go to court, go to a Din Torah. He handed it over to the guy to say, if I can't have it, you can't have it. You think you're going to take it? I'm going to get no way to do things. Hogavadavi boy, Achvea Tivna de Chavre, he wanted to show. This leads us into a very interesting story that some Farshim Lay is that part of the story is at least metaphorical. What happened? Hogavadavi boy, Achvea Tivna de Chavre. One guy wanted to show Yankel's straw. He wanted to show that to the government. In other words, they were looking for more taxes or whatever. He says, I'm going to show Yankel's, got a big wheat, I'm going to give it to the government. Came before Rav, maybe he had said, maybe they brought him before Rav, or he came before Rav to discuss it. Don't show it. Rav Paskin, don't show it. Maybe they brought him to the court. Not clear why he went before Rav, but Rav said, don't show it to the Goyim. I'm going to show it. I don't care what you say. Like he did, he was defiant. Yes, Rav Kana Kamei to Rav. Rav Kana was sitting there in front of Rav when this chutzpahnik went and told Rav, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to show it to the Goyim. Shamte lekuei minei, he pulled out his windpipe. In other words, he killed him.
That's what Rav Kana.
Yes, Rav Kana was sitting there. Shamte lekuei minei. He pulled out his windpipe. That's what he said. Kari Rav, Elohim, so Rav quoted this pasuk about Rav Kana. Banecha olfu, your sons have fainted. Shachfu barosh kochutzos, they are resting or sleeping at the head, you know, on the front of the streets. Right? Kitav mechamer, or Kasom Mechamer, like this kind of a wild bull that's caught in a net. Mahu Matavzeh Kivin Shenaflu Mechamer Eim Rachman, just like this wild bull. Once he falls into the net, there's no Rachmanah, so he can't get out of it. And Afmam Yisrael Yisrael Kivin Shenaflu Yavikachavim Eim Rachman. Once the Jewish assets fall into the hands of the Goyim, you know, we still can't back all the paintings and the assets and the gold that the Nazis took, right? There's no Rachmanis, you're not going to get it all, you're not going to get it back. So therefore, Rav said, you know, this chutzpahnik deserved to be killed because he went up against Rav. So the next word is interesting. It looks like Amrle Rav Kana, so some of the years are Amrle Li Rav Kana, but we have the way, if we keep our gears, it's Amrle Rav. Rav said, Kahana, he told him to Kahana, and as Rav, who was there, told the one who was the officiating rabbi there, said, Kahana, I don't even have a persoid, low kaptish fiyasam. I'll tell you, we got a problem right now. You did a good thing, but you got to go to Israel now. You got to escape to Israel, like Lansky or somebody. You got to get out of here. You know why? Because until now, the Persians were in charge here. They didn't care about murder. They didn't care if you're a murderer. They didn't mind. Hashdik Yavanoi, now we have the Greeks, or some say, he switches around before is the Ivanoi, sorry, but the Syrians, but I'm just saying the Persians weren't so makba, and the other gears are inside here. He says that the Greeks weren't so makba, the Persians are. The Katashir Chazdaman, the army, they say, Mardin, Mardin, they call you a murderer. Kum Saklar Israel, go do the normal Jewish thing. Try to get the next plane out of here. Try to escape to Israel. We don't have an extradition treaty, you know, so maybe you'll get out of here, get out of Babel, and maybe nothing's changed, huh? Right? So maybe you'll get out of here, and maybe you'll get out of Kumsak Ar Yisrael. But now you're a great Talmid Chacham. This was Rav in Babel. Rav was back and forth. Rav was in Babel at this point, and he told this to Kahana, okay, get out of here now. You did a good thing, but you got to escape. Go to Eretz Yisrael, but when you're there, don't bother Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the Marad Asher in Eretz Yisrael. And you're gonna, you know, I know you're gonna get into trouble if you go to his shiurim and start asking him kashas. We're gonna run into trouble there. So try to keep your mouth shut. You know, be mitapek. Hold back for 7 years. Don't ask any questions. Just go to shiur. You want to go learn, but don't ask anything because you're gonna cause trouble. Also, we went to Ashkelon Reish Lakish. He also became a sign Masif the Yoma. So what happened was, Reish Lakish was Rechman's brother-in-law, and he ran the second seder in the yeshiva, meaning. He, after Rabbi Yochanan's shiur, he was chazring it over with the young Jungra light. You know, he was chazring over the young yeshiva bachim there. From Simon, he was reading over the masifta that what they had learned that day, the rabbanan to the young rabbis there. Amalahu. Now Rav Kana though didn't know who Rish Lakish was. He heard about Rish Lakish. Amalu Rish Lakish Hecha. Where's Rish Lakish? He didn't know that was. He didn't have a sign. You know, he didn't have a badge. You know, like they have badges. You know, he didn't know where it was. Amalei Rish Lakish Hecha. Amalei Amai. So he said, why do you want to know? That's always what the Jew says, you know. Mr. Jones, that's a question, yes, but also he didn't want to identify himself, you know. Why do you want to know who you love? Why do you want to know? I'm a little high cushy, because I'll tell you, I was listening to what you said here, and these are the two kashas that I have on it, high peruka, and these are the answers. So Rish Lakish saw all of a sudden that, you know, there's a tough guy in town. You know, there's a, if you have a guy like this coming to the shir, you know, it's not so simple, right? Amrulei Rish Lakish, right. So first he said, Amrulei, why do you want to know? He said, these are the kashas. So they told this to Rish Lakish, that this, where all of a sudden a big Talmid Chacham's come to town and he's going to cause trouble in the shir. Also, Rishakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, Ariola mi Bavel, a lion has come up on Bavel. We got a tough guy here. A bit new customers come in, this guy's tough. Lion mar masif delamacher. You better prepare tomorrow's shear really carefully. You better really prepare well, because this guy's in trouble. Lamacher, Osvubidar Kamel. The next day, they saw he was a Talmid Chacham, so they put him in the first row. Osvubidar Kamel committed Rabbi Yochanan, right in the first row, from Ivan, who went right in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Shmaita V'lakshish. So Rabbi Yochanan started darshaning V'lakshish. He didn't ask any questions because he had promised Rav that he wouldn't say anything. Shmaita, he said another thing, V'lakshish. Okay. So once he saw that he was nobody, he seemed now to be quiet. So Anchose Achore Shev Dersleit. So he moved back. They moved back. You know, as the tough guys, they put in front. The guys who weren't saying anything, they moved him back. We're still assuming that this is literal. Until he was in the last row. After the shir, presumably, Rech said to Rish Lakish, Arisha Marta Nasa Shul, you were talking about this guy was a lion. He's nothing but a fox. In other words, he's no great thing. He saw, he didn't ask anything. Omar, when Rav Kana heard that, these 7 rows that I've been embarrassed, I've been moved back 7 rows, should replace the 7 years that I was supposed to wait. The Amalei Rav, that Rav told me that I was supposed to wait. Kamakar, he got up on his feet. Amalei, Nahadar Marbreshe. Do me a favor, can you repeat that? Can you start over? Amar Shmai Tavakshi. He started saying something and he was Maksha and he slugged him up. Ukmibadarkam, they put him in the first row. Amar Shmai, they said something else. Vakshi asked another Kasha. So Rabbi Yochanan, had been sitting. As giving the shiur, he was sitting on like 7 cushions high up. Shalfu lechad avastarka mitusei. They lowered him by a cushion as he couldn't answer the question. Omer shmaita v'akshla, and they kept asking kashas. You know, Rav Kana kept badgering him with questions and embarrassing him. Ad the shalfu lu kula v'starka, until all the cushions were removed. Now, again, some say that this is the story is like an allegory. In other words, the story happened, but not that they were literally cushions that they were moving or moving him up in the chairs, but basically he tried to keep quiet and you know, it was embarrassing, the whole story. Until he was sitting on the floor. So Rabbi Yochanan Gavar Saba, Rabbi Yochanan was an elderly man, and his eyebrows were very heavy, very big, you know, very heavy eyebrows. And they ever see, you know, pictures of Dolem, the stipler, tremendous eyebrows, and very thick, they never cut them. Mima? Dulzin?
Einstein.
Also? Shaya? Okay, yeah. I missed him. We came after, my aliyah was post him. Yeah, but they had very thick. So they covered up his eyes. Amalu, Dolem, Einai, lift my eyes up. In other words, you know, move my eyebrows. Vachse, I want to see him. I'm going to see who is asking these questions. They use some sort of a silver pincer, like to tweezers, to lift up his eyebrows. Chazer the Parti Sof say he saw that Rav Kana, who had been asking the questions, his lips were parted. Now, what really had happened was his lips were parted because he had a wound. He had a flesh wound, and it looked to Rav Yochanan, who couldn't see very well, that he was laughing at him. Hasavar achuch kamachayach. He thought he was smiling. Like they have him cholish daite. Rabbi Yochanan felt very bad because of this, and he felt that he was being embarrassed. V'noch nafshe, and Rav Kana died because of that. Again, he might be elegant that he was Lizif, he died, but that's the story that Gemara relates, because he felt bad many times. Yeah, cholish daite. He felt bad, and he looked at him, and he died. L'machar, amlu Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbanan. Right? Now, because Rabbi Yochanan looked at him and felt bad, Rav Kana died. Next day, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbanan, did you see what the Babylonian did to me? Did you see how he was trying to embarrass me? He was laughing at me. It's one thing, he asked a legitimate question, you don't have an answer. Here he was laughing at me. No, he wasn't laughing at you. He's got it. It's a normal thing. He happens to have a flesh wound, and it looked like his lips were parted as if he was smiling, but it was a wound that he had on his lips. See, Val felt very bad. He said he caused, now Rabbi Yochanan felt bad, that he caused Rav Kana's death, because he had a misunderstanding. He thought he was laughing at him. So he went to the cave where Rav Kana had been buried. Chazer da'ave hadra le'achna. There was a snake who was a serpent who had curled up in front of the opening of the cave. Amale achna achna psach mecha. Open up your mouth. V'kanas rav etzal talmud, so that I, the rabbi, can come into the Talmud and I could see Rav, I could see Rav Kana and deal with it, deal with the situation. He didn't open his mouth. You know, the snake didn't move. Rashi says that the snake was curled up with his tail in his mouth. I don't know how that's how they do it. And it was totally sealed because he had his tail in his mouth. And he wouldn't open up his mouth to let the tail out, so as he stayed in that circle. Some say this all refers to the Eight Sahara, all kinds of information about it. So he said, well, that didn't work. By calling myself the teacher, I said, how about if my colleague, well, you know, one rabbi to another, how about opening it up and let one rabbi go see another, one colleague to another colleague, like I'm his equal. Below Pasach, he didn't open. He kind of Talmud, it's Rav. Now he lowered himself. He says, let the Talmud, I'm the Talmud now, because I'm going to learn from him, go into the Rav. Then he opened up. Boy Rachme, he begged for mercy, Ukmi, and he revived him. Had I known that you weren't laughing at me, you simply had a wound, I wouldn't have felt bad, and now I wouldn't have caused this to happen. Hashta, leisimar badam. Now let's come back with me, and we'll come back to the yeshiva. Amalei, imatzlimi boy rachme, if you can beg mercy, in other words, if you can daven, desulo shechivna, that I won't die again. In other words, I've had a, you know, different farshim here, even Rashi brings out two pshatim. One pshat, he says that, you know, it's very painful to go through death. You know, he didn't want to do this, you know. Actually, that if I ask a kasha, in other words, that I won't die again, I'll go with you. In other words, I'm not going to. In other words, once it's happened, it's happened. One shot, Rashi says this, we've had a nest once, I'm not going to be so much on another nest, you might kill me again tomorrow, and tomorrow...
Like the Purim story.
Yeah, which Purim story?
Where bites into the Purim
Suda,
and gets drunk, and kills one, kills the other.
That story. He says, yeah, he says, maybe this time it won't work. Right, that Purim story, right. So he says, you know, maybe it won't work next time, right? Or I don't want to go through the pain again, whatever. Whatever, he says, I don't... So he revived him. So he agreed to that, you know. He got him, he raised him from the dead, so to speak, and spoke to his spirit, and they had this conversation. Once he agreed that, you know, that he'll respond, that he won't kill him again, he revived him. And he brought him back, like he set him up. He asked him every question. So now Rav Yochanan asked any question, any suffering that he had. He realized that Rav Kana was his superior in learning. And Upashtini was potion nilay. That's Rav Yochanan said, Dilchun Amri Dilahoni. Rav Yochanan told us to meet him, the Torah that I thought is yours, Neretz Yisrael, really is theirs in Bavel. In other words, they are greater than us because Rav Yochanan was the Gadol Hador in Eretz Yisrael, and yet he saw that Rav Kana wasn't even the Gadol Hador in Bavel. He was a Talmud of Rav, etc. You know, could easily is superior to them. That was the story. Hodachve, again, it started out because one guy was showing, said he's going to show somebody's assets to the guy. Hodachve am tachsa to Rav Abba. He showed Rav Abba's am tachsa. Rashi says. Is some silk garment, whatever, some tachshit of silk. Rabbi, he was going to show it to the guy. Yosef Rabu, Rav Chanina, Rav Papi, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. They were sitting there. Yosef Rav Eloi Gabai, he was sitting by them. Also, Sover Lechayuve. He wanted to be mechayev the guy to say, listen, you showed, you revealed Rav Abba's assets, his silk garment to the goyim. If a judge made the wrong judgment, he judged wrong. Zichas achayev, achayev is okay. He made the innocent one guilty and vice versa. Timis ator, tears atomi, or he made something tomi tor, vice versa. Masha also, I'll see what's done. He shall be based. In other words, we see when he made a mistake, not a mistake in judgment, like you know what really happened over here, but he made a mistake in the halacha, he has to pay out of his own. Omalei Ravallah, so that's what they said. So they said also, you know, you shouldn't have done this and you have to pay. Omalei Ravallah, Hochi Omarav, Vushanas on Asambiyah, that's only if he actually lifted it up. In other words, we said, you know, he took the taros and he put a dead sheretz on there, or he did something, he did it by hand, he took it out of one hand. And here, Omalei, Zil Gavid Reb Shim Bal Yakim Reb Lezer Ben Pidos. The Dina Garmi, in other words, they told it. So Rav Allah said to them, that's only if you did it by hand. Here you did it by hand. So you've been wronged. In other words, your stuff has been taken away. So go to Rav Allah, and they pass the Dina Garmi. They say, even if you were just Gorim, if you didn't actually touch it, you just caused indirectly the damage, you still can get paid. Azul Kabayu, he went to them, they passed away. Chayve Mastis Nichay, they were Machayev, the guy to pay Rav Abba for his silt from the mission, which says, Imach Masagazlon, Chayev, Lamelo Sarachir, Vokim the Dachmishur. In other words, since you showed it to him, in other words, they wouldn't have gotten it otherwise. Not like we said in Aleph, where maybe they said, show us where, at gunpoint, show us where Rav Abba's stuff is. And it wasn't, he didn't, you know, it wasn't like that. It was like, he handed it over because he showed it to them. They wouldn't have gotten it otherwise. Then you have to pay, like we saw in our Mishnah. A man held a deposit of a silver cup. Saliku Gandhi Eloi, Garvin came there. Shokla Yavin Lo, he gave it to them. Ganavim came there, or Gazlanim came, and he gave it to them. Also came to Rava, came for Rava. Pat Rava says, your pat. Amalei Abaya, hi matz latzma mamon chaveru. What are you talking about? He should have given him his own silver cup, his own stuff. He was saving his own life by handing over somebody else's money he should pay. Elam Ravashi. Ravashi says like this. That's not, you know, that's wrong. Abaya said to Rava, your potter, why are you potter? He was saving himself. And as they demanded money from him. And he had a deposit in his safe. He had somebody else's silver cup. And he gave him the silver cup. Why did you give him the silver cup? Why didn't you give him your own money? Right? And this Rashi says, this really crystallizes the different cases. Chazina, we see, if he was a wealthy man, they came for his money. Right? In other words, when they came after his money, they say, we know you're wealthy. And this guy didn't give up his own money. He gave up the other guy's silver cup. Even if he gave up his own money and the silver cup, but he didn't have to give up the silver cup, and he gave it up, then he has to pay for it. Let's say he didn't have any money. They knew then that they were looking for the silver that he was holding. They came for the cup. So again, you have to look at the circumstances. If they were going after the other guy's cup, right, and they were going after and said it's not his fault. That's what they came for. He wasn't saying himself. That's where they were. He wasn't like giving up the other guy's stuff where he didn't have to. But when he gave it to them, when he showed them the other guy's stuff and he didn't have to show it, that's when we said that you're chayev.
That was by initial reaction.
Yeah. There was what?
You said, young girls.
Oh, my next door neighbor. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there was a day we had about a year ago. There, robbers came in to Moshe, and they were saying, "Yeah, but what?" But they didn't. I don't think they confronted them, did they?
No, I only heard the story.
Yeah, what was the story? Yeah,
what you told me.
Yeah, what was the story that
they told the girls we won't hurt you?
He showed some of the money was
his money. Yeah.
Right, so he showed right, but there they came after his money. They didn't come after the girls' money. Correct. So that's the same thing. Exactly the same thing here. That if the robbers were coming after, they said, well, we know you're holding this guy's silver cup, show us where the safe is, you know, then they had no choice. But if he said, we're coming after your money, you know, give us your money, and he gave him the other guy's money, that's like the Mishnah, he didn't have to, then he's responsible. He had the tzedakah, he had a pushkav tzedakah that was set aside for redeeming captives. So Salika Ganavim came to him,
Shakla Yovnel, he gave it to them. He gave them that Pinyin Shvuyim. Also, right, the Rabba came before Rabba, right? And Rabba patered him like Rabba patered the case before, right? And Ravashi said, oh, my bias says, no, he was saving the, you know, look at the case, you know. But I was patered him. He says, yeah, but now you're saving yourself again with somebody else's money, with the kupatz.com. He was pro to himself. That's Pidyon Shvuyim. They came to him at gunpoint, give us the money. That's Pidyon Shvuyim. So that's also a case of Pidyon Shvuyim. See, again, you have to look at, again, if they had come after his own money and he had his own money, he was a wealthy man, then it wouldn't have been right to give him the tzedakah pushka. But those were the circumstances there. Hugavra, Daktim, Vasik, Chamra, he brought, you know, well, I always say in my father's line about, you know, what is chamra, right? Chamra is either wine or it's a donkey. So we always say, how do you know which one it is? You have to see, svensach vi de chamra shtai. Where is it? If it's in the cellar, then it's probably wine. If it's in the barn, then it's a donkey. Now here on this page, on Dif Kuf Yitzayin, on Ahmed Aleph, we have the case. Remember, he gave up the chamra, the wine of that rabbi, right? He gave up the wine of the chamra. The case came before him, right? We had that on Amud Aleph, right? And he said, you schlep it along with them. And he said, they potted him because they should show us where the wine is. And even though he helped them along with it, he was potted because they were standing right there. They could have taken it too. So there we showed him the wine. Now we're talking about a donkey. And on the days, in this case, we're at the first of the white lines, if you're missing it. He brought a donkey onto a ferry. Now, donkeys don't do well on ferries. I'll tell you a whole story when we have a chance another time about llamas. There's a whole unit in Israeli forces about llamas. Llamas are very docile. You can take them onto a helicopter. They've done this. I know a guy who trains them, etc. They're tremendous. He's sort of married to a cousin of Pepe's. We got a whole tour of it. He could only show us something. It's a very secret thing. It's a tremendous thing. He's raised this whole thing. And other governments, Americans have used them. American army took this guy and he gave him llamas in Afghanistan because they had carried tremendous stuff because they found out that the soldiers schlepping all the stuff up on the mountains, by the time they get to the top, they can't fight because they're dead. And the llamas are able to, and they're docile, and they take care of their own feces. They're very clean. They're unbelievable animals. But, you know, they look a little bit like a donkey. But a donkey, you put them on a helicopter, he'll destroy the thing in a second. They're very strong. So here he brought this donkey onto a ship, onto the ferry. Kameda Salkinshi, remember, before the people had gone, had gotten off, there were still people on the ferry. In other words, he brought them on. There were people on the ferry boat, and this donkey was about to destroy the boat, and they would have died. Boy, lit for you, the whole thing was going to sink. Asa Ugavra, or maybe it was a small one, and, you know, he would have caused it to sink. Asa Ugavra, again, Molochle Lechamra, and he pushed the donkey. Da Ugavra, he pushed that guy's donkey off. Ashaydu, and now threw him into the river, Vitova, and the donkey drowned. Now, also came Rabbi, came for Rabbi. The guy said to him, you know, you killed my donkey, you made my drunk. So Patre, again, Rabbi Patre, you saved yourself on the boat by throwing the other guy's, by destroying the other guy's assets. This guy was a rodef. What's a rodef? Rodef is a person who's going to kill. Because by bringing the donkey on, you were going to kill these other people. Everybody on the boat was going to die. So you were a rodef. Rabbi Tamei, the Amar Rabbi, listen to this very carefully. There's three different serum. Rodef, Shei Rodef HaChaver Lahogo. A rodef is a pursuer, right? He's about to kill somebody. Veshiber Es HaKelim, and he broke him. In other words, these guys running after somebody to shoot somebody, right? And as he's running, we're talking about the pursuer now, the bad guy. As he's running, he breaks somebody's glassware or whatever. He breaks somebody's glassware. Bein Shel Nirta, Bein Shel Kolam. Whether it's the one he's pursuing or anybody's, Potter, Sherry was Chayv Nasha, because he is a din of Misa. While he's walking around, he's a dead man, right? Anybody could shoot him.
He hasn't killed him yet.
He hasn't killed him yet, but he has aloha like a dead man. Because he's trying to kill somebody, he has aloha of dead man. Even though you didn't kill him yet, he has aloha like a dead man, Pascha Misa, just like the case of, huh? Like a ganaf, right? Like a ganaf in the middle of the night, right? But if this is like a ganaf in the middle of the night, or like we said before, you know, you have Machal Shabbos and you destroyed his property. So he's, okay. That's the case of the pursuers of Veneer Def Sheshibar Esakim. Let's say the guy's running away. Let's say the guy who's running away. He's going to kill me. I'm running. And as I run away, right? Sheshibar Esakim Shel Rodef. Right? If I destroy Kalem of the guy who's running after me, You know, as I'm running away, I broke his kelim. I'm potter shloim b'monochav l'migufo. If I'm allowed to kill him, if I can, I certainly should be able to break his glass, right? His mamon shouldn't be more chashiv than the guf. Avol shel kol adam. But let's say when I'm running away, I break somebody else's glass, somebody who's not involved, just they happen to live there. Am I allowed to do that? I have to pay. The osur lahatz latzma mamon chaver. I'm not allowed to save myself by using somebody else's mamon. In other words, I did that. Even though I'm saving myself, I can't save myself. That's right. You understand? Okay, wait a minute. So, if it's a third person, I can't. I'm. You know, why is he responsible? That third person is an innocent guy, right? He sees two guys running. One guy's killing the other guy, and the guy who's running away breaks it. He says, "You know, I sympathize with you and all that, but you know, and I, if I could, I would kill the guy who's running after you, but I can't kill him."
The Rodef isn't liable.
The Rodef isn't liable there, right? Rodef's not liable. Now, in common law, maybe you would say that, but I don't know really. You know, you might say, you know, like think of today's example, you'd say there's a car chase going on, right? You know, he's running away from a bad guy who's shooting him, and he's running, and he smashes up a bunch of other cars. So, you know, the insurance guy, the lawyers would fight it out today. But he's saying, Be'ikar halacha, the guy who's running away, he can kill the rodef, destroy the rodef stuff, but a third innocent bystander, you know, for rodef, acha rodef, lahatzil, let's say you're running after a rodef. Okay, now I'm the innocent bystander, and I want to save the guy who's being pursued. Rodef, shay rodef, acha rodef. I'm running after a rodef, lahatzil, v'shover kelim, bein shel nir, bein shel. And now what would you say then? I break somebody else. As I'm running after the bad guy, and I shoot him, I destroyed somebody else's property. Right? V'shover kelim, bein shel nir, bein shel kol adam. Either the near duffs. Now, if I destroy the rodef, it's okay, because his life is kelim shouldn't be worth more than his life. I can kill him. I can certainly break his kelim, right? But as I was doing that, I destroyed maybe the nearest. The guy says, "Oh, you saved my life. Thanks a lot. Can you pay for my glass? You know, I just saved your life. You know, you saved the glass." Says, "What do you say there? Every shavu can mention the bench call him. Your potter. Your potter. Now, even if it's somebody else's. Now, you understand? Now, why your potter? Why you shouldn't be potter? Velo min adin. Not really mikra adin. You can't, because you can't say you can't. I can't break your car to save that guy. I said, you know what? I used your car to get rid of that guy, to catch that guy. And on the way, I smashed it up." And somebody, yes, they said, "Let's say, fine and dandy, nice guy, but what about my car?" So the truth is, I have to pay. But you're potter. Not because the din. You know, din, you're chayev. If you don't say that, nobody's going to go to get involved. I'm not going to get involved. It's like a good Samaritan law, right? A good Samaritan law that he's potter from damage that he did. He tried to save the guy. He says, "Yeah, but what are you? Yeah, but if you would say that I got to be so careful that I might, you know, don't do any damage, so nobody's going to say, "Listen, I'm not getting involved." So they made a special law like that too. So here too, what was the case? We start off by saying the case was where the guy threw the donkey off, right? Right, so you're not allowed to save my life with somebody else's property. But if you wouldn't say that, I'm saving everybody else's life. I'm saving everybody else's life, right? The donkey and his owner are like pursuers, and I'm saving a life by taking care of him. But you know, taking care of the, well, I didn't have to kill the pursuer, but I had to kill the donkey. Yeah, but if I wouldn't say that, if I wouldn't be able to do that, then nobody would get involved, and therefore, Rabbah says that you don't have to pay for the donkey. In other words, obviously, the guy who brought the donkey on, he's the jerk over here, and he shouldn't have brought him on. So he said, even though he said, if I stole your land and I gave it over to the goyim, and I didn't have to, they weren't taking all the lands, they didn't say, "Where's that guy's land?" I just said, you know, okay, I'll give him land over, I got to make good on it, right? But if it was washed away by the river, then I could say, "Listen, I didn't steal anything, and it's land. Land's not stolen. Pay for it." That's what the Mishnah says. I could say it's your land. You know, if had I not stolen it, the river would have said, and it was overrun by water. He got a diver of blood. Rav says, it's not like our Mishnah. He said, I got to give another one. Why? Because Rav says you could steal land. We hold not like him. Rav says, I could steal land. Oh, he stole the land. You know, you stole, you got to pay. Kamosha Gozel. The Chomer of my Rav Shachon, you can say, here it is. Rav Lezer says, you're chayiv, that you can steal land. Why? Mi'ev means you include almost everything. Mekichesh, when you lie, you steal something, but miso, that's a ribuy, anything. And then it says, pikadon, or this, or that, or all the diyutim. Mi'ev, that's the mi'ev. Kolash yishba alani, you swear la shakar, chaz of riba. Riba, mi'ev, you say, riba, and mi'ev, riba, call, you include everything. In other words, everything except for one item can be stolen. What's the wide amount? Riba avakom. My Rabbi Akomile. Everything can be stolen, even land. Even avodim. Umaymi, what do you exclude? You exclude one thing, shtaros. Only paper. documents. Why? Because paper have no intrinsic value. So that's the only thing that you're not chayim on the shvua, and you don't have to. But anything else, even you could you chayiv rabbanan darshi kol prat, rabbanan darshi kol prat. Not as a, the same psukim, but not a remit, but darshi kol prat, which includes less. Klal is people, kicheish klal, people kodon or any other item is prat. Omikol chazav kol kol prat or klal. You dashna like the prat. What's like the prat? The pekadon or the gzela, whatever you took, or the salary. Ma prat over a metalton, something metalton, the gufa mammon. It has intrinsic value and it's movable. That's the only thing you're chayiv for gzela on. Av kadon metalton, the gufa mammon. Anything which is movable, chayiv, then you're chayiv for gzela. Yatzakarkas, but karki is not stolen. It can't be stolen. So if you take karka, if you give it over to the goyim and they didn't demand it from you, then you have to make good on it because you really took it away from the guy. But stealing, if I stole it and then it was overrun by water, not my fault. If it was flooded, no problem. Therefore, you're not chayiv for stealing them. Excluding stars, even though they're metalpin, ain't gufman. So all those things are excluded. That you can't steal those. That's a concern. Iva to Iva, he learned Hagozo Sapar. What about this case? We learned a Bryce, if you steal a paro is a movable thing, right? A cow. Veshafanar, and then the river overflowed it, you chayiv to pay lachayv lam paro diver Rablazer chomram or mashik say shofenecha. Now what do you mean over here? Here Rablazer says you have to give him another one, and the chum say you can say shofenecha, but that's a movable. If I stole your paro, and then I stole it, that means I'm responsible for it now. And now it was flooded and died in a flood. I should have to pay. Why did the Chum say you could shed nechem? Hasam my kamifli. What's my chlokus there? Amra papa hasam my eskinam. Could go. You didn't really steal the parah like you pulled it. You moshav. But you gozel son of I stole the field. Mechaveru vayis a parah vutsa abo. And there was a cow sleeping on the field. I never really took the parah. V'shafranar. And then it was over flooded. Then it was flooded. The Rablezer with tamei rabban tamei. Rablezer says what? You could steal karka. If you could steal karka, the para which is on the karka is always part of it. Because when you take a kinyan on karka, metalflin comes with it, as we learn in Kedushin. Mechasim shein lachrayim, sar nikna, with mechasim shein lachrayim, kesef shtar chazaka. And the Rabbanan say, no, since you couldn't steal the field, you didn't steal the para either. So you could say, I didn't take anything. It's all yours. I didn't steal the para. That's machloks there. But we all like Rabbanan, that by karka itself cannot be stolen. So if I stole it, and then it was flooded, not my fault. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock even tomorrow. Okay? And we'll see about on Tuesday we make a siyum. Probably also be 5 o'clock. But we'll wait. Dayat Sarah Bashatu, we say. Tomorrow 5 o'clock, probably Tuesday as well. Tomorrow Slicha starts at 5:45. 5:45, and therefore we'll start at 5. Mirtz Hashem. Go to bed early, boys.